home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and for the next hour, we've got a fun show. In just a couple of minutes, Mr. Terry Ray, the irreverent Terry Ray, is going to be joining us to talk about his new play, Electricity, My Sister Is So Gay, and, you know, anything else we can talk to this talented man for the next hour. But before we do that, I want to give a special shout outs again to Mr. David Essel and then also Mr. Miracle Mike Hennessy for being on Monday's 2-hour spectacular. In hour number one, we talked to David about his book called Positive Thinking's Never Going to Get You Anywhere, but this book will, and he tells you why. And then Mike Hennessy came on to talk about performing for Gary Busey's family, being a Reiki practitioner, and so much more. So that was yesterday's show. So much fun. And the week just keeps getting better. Tomorrow on a 1 p.m. show, we're moving all over the place, which is one reason it's so nice to be able to just get the follow button, and then it's going to give you the link for that day's show, so you never have to worry if things get crazy and we change the time of the show on you. Yesterday was at 5, today's at 3, tomorrow's at 1, Thursday's at 7, Friday's at 7, Saturday's at 8 o'clock in the morning. So there's no rhyme or reason for anything that we're doing this week. But tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Scott Fullerton, you'll know him from his popular podcast, web series. It's not a web series, a podcast, radio show, The Left of Straight show. I listen to it all the time. He has amazing guests on every single week, and Scott's just this force of nature in Ohio, and I can't wait to have him on as my co-host tomorrow. So who knows what we're going to talk about. It's going to be completely unscripted. And on Friday night dance party, we're going to skip Thursday for just a second. We've got Mr. Charles Wright. He's been on the show as an author before, but this is a legendary blues performer. His story, though, is just, it's a little heart-wrenching. It's hard to believe that these things actually took place in his lifetime growing up, and yet he overcame all of the challenges, especially the racial yuck that went on in the South, and I'm supposed to, it goes on still today, but he overcame so much to become a very successful blues and R&B performer the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. So Charles is going to be on with new music that he is showcasing. That's this Friday on the Friday Night Dance Party. Okay, now let's back up so we can have the gay stuff go on. Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio, Rob Watson is my co-host, of course, and we're going to be welcoming back to the show Terrence Moss. He's been on before, but you know, if you have Terrence on once, you got to have him on twice. And just like so many of our guests that we're having on Rated LGBT Radio, we get them for like a 20-minute block, and you know, just at the 20-minute mark, that's when we start hitting our stride. So it's like, Terrence, you got to come back. So Terrence will be back on Thursday. And then finally, the last show of the week, of the sixth day of the week, at Super Gay Radio at 8 o'clock in the morning with Mr. Paul Emery. We know him better as Paul in Mass. We get to talk to Frank, who is our RuPaul Drag Race correspondent of sorts. And then comedian Adam Sank makes his first guest call-in appearance on the show. And that's this Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. And I told Paul, good, now I can be on autopilot. We've got two guests back-to-back that you're BFFs with. I can just sit back and kind of relax. He says, yeah, except for the last 10 minutes. Then you got to come on and pour it on thick. So that's what we're going to do Saturday. Now, I would say, without further ado, it is my pleasure and honor to bring back to the show Mr. Terry Ray. Terry has been on the show, I think, once before. But again, just, you know, like if you're on Rated LGBT Radio, we really need you on for the full hour. So it's more like that's kind of like that. What's the whistle? And then we finally get you back on. So, Terry, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad your whistle is wet.
I know. If the whistle was dry, it'd be horrible.
Hi, Garrett. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. So how are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm excited. There's a lot to be excited about. I'm excited.
There's so much to be excited about in your world. And so if anybody missed Terry's appearance on Rated LGBT Radio a few weeks back, I mean, shame on you, number one. You should go back and listen to every single episode and be able to listen to it so often that you can actually recite quotes from it. But if you don't have the time to do that, I guess we'll give you a bus pass this time. And but I would love it if you, Terry, would tell the listening audience just a little bit about yourself, You know, nothing that's going to take more than about 48 minutes, but, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, how you ended up out in LA, you know, the fun stuff to get down to the meat and potatoes of all the cool stuff that we're going to talk about today.
What a simple little question that is. Thank you. Gosh. I am an actor, writer, person, and I also dabble in other things like getting my stuff produced. And I'm from Ohio originally, but I've been in Los Angeles. You know, I lost my hair here. I've been so long, and I had hair when I moved, and I've been bald for many long years. So yeah, I've been here for a long time. I mostly was an actor forever, and then I decided to start, you know, doing my own thing, and it's been really empowering and pretty terrifically exciting to get to do my own projects, like writing them and producing them and usually acting in them. So that's my gig kind of now. I'm sort of just doing my stuff that I love to do. And so, now I'm in a new adventure too. So I'm like a new forum of branching out.
A new form of branching out that if you had hair probably left on your head, you'd probably pulled it out by this point. So
it's just bad. It's gone.
So you have this incredible new play that's coming out. It debuts April 22nd called Electricity. Tell us a little bit about the play.
Well, it's the first play I've ever written. And I wanted to write a play because I've been writing my own projects, but I also wrote a lot of TV movies lately. And you get a lot of notes, and I've been writing television shows and stuff. And you know, you get a lot of notes as a writer. And I'm thinking, you know, that's great, but it's also it'd be fun to do something where you get to really, really decide exactly everything about this character and the story, and you don't have to take notes and just do your thing. And what's the only medium that can happen in for a performer is the theater. The playwright is the king in theater. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to write my first play. And then I did something crazy different. I didn't write a comedy, which is what I always do. I love comedy, but I also love, you know, a serious story when there's one to tell. And I wrote a play about two guys who have this weird connection, this electricity that somehow keeps them together over 4 decades. So it's two guys that meet up after their 10th high school reunion in a little rundown motel in Chillicothe, Ohio, and they meet there after every reunion from 1983 all the way to 2013. And during that 30-year period of gay life, things changed so radically from, like, you know, closeted, you know, terrifying things happening with AIDS and, you know, being outed all the way through to gay marriage. And those time changes in our culture are reflected in the lives of these two characters. And I'm really, really excited about this story, and I'm insisted to myself that I play one of these characters for this first premiere. So I am taking on the double challenge of actually playing probably the most challenging role I've ever tackled. So it's really, really exciting for me. I just got back from rehearsal just a few minutes ago, and we are just really getting into the nitty gritty. I love it a lot. And I'm going to stop talking so you can say something now.
No, you can keep talking, but okay, because I can go on and just ask questions about this forever. So as somebody who's known as a great comic who has been in all kinds of comedic productions and you're a comic writer, why did you decide for your first outing that, you know, boy, I'm going to create a tearjerker here? Or, you know, by the way, you do have quite a bit of humor in it. I need to tell you that. But why did you want to tackle something that was so serious on your first venture out? And as a follow-up question to that, why 4 decades? That just seems so overwhelmingly daunting for your first dramatic effort.
Well, to me, it's everything I write is about telling a story. And I just have this story in my head, and that's the 4 decades is how long it took to tell it. Because, you know, it's the 80s, the 90s, the aughts, and the 10s. And I've just been amazed as somebody who has, you know, experience those decades of the change that has occurred for us as gay people. It's amazing because when we start this play, Ronald Reagan is president, 1983. And, you know, you just didn't tell people you were gay, not where I lived. And, you know, it's my story. And in this story, I've told a lot of my stories that have comedy. And this has, you know, like you said, a little bit of comedy in it, because that just has to be there for me. Because I think everything is sad and funny at the same time. There's two levels playing. But this was my story. Not that this is my story personally, but this is times that I remember that I experienced. So I, as a person looking through a window back on that, I can tell that story, and I can tell a story that I can relate to, and that other people that I know can relate to. And I thought it was important to tell it because I don't think it's been told in this way. And a love story that's been told in this way. And whether it'll turn out happy or sad, who knows, but it's its own unique love story. And it's weird that I did drama, but I also, as an actor, I have played in a lot of dramas, and I love it because I think a lot of comedic actors really do have a kind of a unique approach to drama that I like to see. And I hope that people would like to see coming out of me.
So, you know, I've heard from a lot of folks over the years, they say doing comedy is probably the hardest thing that they've ever done. I just find you so engaging in whatever you do. So I'd be hard pressed to think that you find anything hard because you're so talented. But do you find doing, you know, your comedic roles challenging simply for the comedy, or is that so second nature to you that it's just no big deal?
Comedy for me is sort of my base. I feel very comfortable doing comedy, and I don't find it difficult. I find it like riding a wave. It's like if you're a surfer and I'm not a surfer, but there's a catching of a wave that happens with comedy, and you have to know how to ride it. And it's timing. It's a balance, and I think some people just have that more readily available to them than other people. And drama is acting, and it's playing the character, and it's being true. And it's not, to me, it's not different as far as, like, when I'm playing comedy, I try to also be that character, and I'm trying to just be that character in drama. But it is using different tools because you're going to different places that you're not used to. It's a different depth often when you're doing something that's pretty dramatic. You're going deeper. I mean, comedy can also be deep, but it's about real feelings. But it's a little different set of tools in the fact that I'm going to places that I don't normally go to. Somehow I'm using something different.
So as somebody who does a lot of, you know, comedic acting, and then you go to a dramatic role like this, and especially live, which would, I mean, I think is so brave of you, even if you've done it before, but since this is your baby and it's 91 pages long, it's a huge commit. Where do you go creatively to put yourself in that zone to be ready to do something like this?
Well, it's all through the rehearsal process, which we're doing right now, like today, which is we're just starting in this first decade, and we're, you know, we do it over and over and over again, and we experiment and we try to go there, and we just have locked the doors and said, you know, my director is Steve Rosenbaum, and he's like, you are very safe in this room. Do whatever you want to do. There's no wrong answers. And then I'm with my other actor, who is Kevin Scott Allen, who's terrific, and we're exploring and we're figuring it out, and it's a fun process. So I just try to be real. It's like, I just try to experience what's happening. And I know everybody has their techniques and stuff. And that seems to be, I can't be a person who's like, oh, if I'm going to be sad, I got to think about dead babies. No, I have to
right.
think about what this is about. And so we just have been going there, and it's, and one thing that's interesting is that this play, the first scene, there's a lot of alcohol in this first scene. And I didn't really realize how much it is until we've been using prop water and stuff. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is really going to affect how these people act, because we're drinking like little fishies here in the first scene. So it's all stuff that's fun to play with and explore, and I'm loving it. It's really cool.
Well, so and the play opens on April 22nd. Can you give us any more details about where it's at, ticket costs, things like that? Because I want to make sure we plug that all throughout the show. By the way, anybody who's listening, I've got links. So if you can't write it down because you're listening in the car or something like that, fear not, because the links will get you everywhere a little bit later. But Terry, tell us where we can find the play and what people should expect.
Yeah, well, it's simple. Everything you can find about the play is linked through this website, and the website is electricitytheplay.com, electricitytheplay.com, and you can link there to buy tickets, brown paper tickets, and all the shows are $25. There's a preview, actually, on the 21st of April, and that's $20. It's $20. So I also want to I want to really give a shout out to my producer.
Please.
Who is, he's Michael, his name is Michael Darner. And this is crazy because, you know, it costs a ton of money to put a play up. And I couldn't, you know, I wrote this play this summer would be 2 years. But, and I wrote it and I felt really like, I love this play, but I didn't have money to put it up. And, I didn't know how I was going to get it up. And then I had other projects to do, and I'm like, I want to do my play. And I, you know, I dabbled in, like, how can I do it? And I put a budget together to, like, try to do it myself. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't afford this. And I just didn't want to get online and, like just beg for money. I thought, I don't want to do that, and I don't know that I can get that. But so anyway, I didn't do it. I didn't move forward. And then this is so amazing. This last year, I got to go on a cruise to Alaska because my TV series from Here TV is called From Here on Out, and we did 6 episodes, and they turned it into a movie. So they recut it, and all of a sudden, it's a movie. And they said, "Hey Terry, we've recut your picture, your TV series, and now it's a movie." And this movie is going to screen on this gay kind of film festival-y thing on a cruise to Alaska, and you get to go for free. And I was like, what? Yes, please. So
wow.
Go on a cruise to Alaska, and they're, you know, it's not the whole cruise. It's just like a certain portion of people are doing the festival part, like a gay group, and they're mostly from Palm Springs. And, you know, I'm, you know, on the cruise talking to them, but I didn't get to talk to, you know, like everybody a lot. And I didn't even remember that apparently I talked to Michael and mentioned that I wrote a play, and I don't even remember doing that. And, then after the cruise was over, and Michael is not a producer, Michael's an architect, never done anything like this before. He's just an architect. Well, not just Nick. He's a wonderful architect. And so then the film plays in Palm Springs, at a theater in Palm Springs, the film which used to be my TV show. And
uh-huh.
Michael Darner comes, and he watches it. And after it, he comes up to me, and he says, have you found a producer for your play? And I'm like, what? I don't remember talking to you about this, but no, I haven't. Would you like to read it? And he read it. And, you know, we talked several times, we met, and he's like, you know what? I really feel like this story needs to be told. I've never done this before. I'll be your producer. And
no.
It would not be happening without him. And people are saying, how do you get a producer? I'm like, I don't know. It just happened. It's like a miracle. it's really a miracle that he would, you know, all of those pieces to fall together. And he never had any intention of doing that. It just all happened. And he's been really hands-on and helpful producing. I feel like he's a really true, you know, like really truly into this and a great partner for this. And I am just so thankful that he wants to do it. And, you know, he's not going to make money off of play. So it not the first run. I mean, if we get to do it again, which I pray that we do, you know, hopefully he'll get his money back. But this is a real, you know, a real gift for him to want to give this play to an audience. And I hope people will come see it because it does speak to people that way. People who read it, who are, you know, hopefully younger people will get it too. I think they will. But people who have experienced it will really get it. And it's powerful enough to make a man who's an architect want to stop what he's doing and produce a play. So that I'm really thankful for.
So what we should all do is put in, you know, like $5, everybody who's listening to the show, and go have Michael build us a wonderful house out in Palm Springs that we can go as a party house. And then
also good. Yes, it's a great thing. A little architectural. We'll each get a timeshare of about 15 minutes if we just put $5 in. Yeah,
that would be great. Okay. So what's involved in producing a play? Well, let me back up. So, you know, you've done all these other things, you know, and we've got tons of time to talk about it all. But when you get ready to do a production yourself, what other hats? I mean, were you prepared, I guess, is the question I want to ask, for what this was really going to entail when Michael said, okay, let's make this happen? And, you know, at what point then did you say, uh-oh, I've got to get serious about this?
The second he said, let's make this happen,
okay.
There was a lot of internal, uh-oh, if this is what you asked for, here goes.
Uh-huh.
You had to tell, like, stop everything else and let's do this. And you know, of course it came. I just had my sister So Gay come out and, like, you know, I want to do series second season of that. But I'm like, okay, gotta wait. Let's do this play. And first of all, there's a lot of steps. You have to find a director. And I picked someone that directed me, I think, three times before. He's a person who he used to direct more, but he hasn't directed lately. But the reason is why he's kind of directing the most important event in people's lives. He directs weddings, but he has this amazing eye, and he has he knows me so well that he's been a friend for over 20 years, that I knew that he wouldn't be afraid to ride me hard. Like, he wouldn't have, like, kid gloves because, oh, he's the writer. I got to be careful with him because, you know, I'm not going to correct him. He wrote it. No. Steve, I knew, would challenge me at every step and in a good way. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody to challenge me. And he's doing that. So, Michael met Steve. They hit it off. It's like, yes, Steve then. So then it was like, where's the theater? You got to have a theater. You got to have dates. You can't do anything until you know when you're doing the play, and then everything else falls in. And then we have to go to a bunch of theaters, and they're all expensive, or they're not so great looking, and or not available, because a lot of them have their own seasons. So there's this whole thing, and to find a decent theater, and we did. We found one that we really think is adorably cute. The Two Roads Theater, which is on Ventura, it's not on Ventura. It's on Tahunga. And everybody knows the Roma Cafe. I think a lot of people know that. It's in the same little block as that, with these cute shops and restaurants and a little theater with a marquee. And it's 60 seats, and it's adorable and affordable, and it's our home. So then
there you
find other places, and today we got our stage manager. Yay, Amy Rowell's going to be a stage manager. She's a friend of mine. She was recommended by Don Wells, so you know she's good.
Oh, we love Don Wells.
Yeah, I just had a name drop there. So anyway, yeah, it's we have a set designer who, it's just so miraculous. We have a set designer who he does Days of Our Lives, and he's great, but he's so busy all the time, but Days of Our Lives has like a 5-week hiatus right now, which it never has. And he's like, I have time off. I can do it. So it's really been cool so far. And we had auditions for the other role, and people were so good. It was amazing how great they were and how difficult the decision was. It was, I had a lot of friends audition, which is, It's great, but it's sad because I want to be everybody's champion. I think they did a wonderful job, but only one person gets the role, and that's hard, especially when I'm an actor on the other side of the fence. I know what it's like. So it's all kinds of crazy emotions and all kinds of feelings, but it's very, very exciting. So I'm thrilled about it.
Well, I think this is going to be something that, at least for me, I'm so excited for it. I want to say I'm so proud of you, Terry. I don't think I know you well enough to say that I'm so proud of you, Terry, but I want to just, you know, reach out and give you a hug because I think what you're doing is spectacular. But for
Well, I'll take a hug.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So I have a question here. So
Yeah. You
write your first play. It's a serious play. There's some humor mixed in. And for your first play that you're also going to star in, you only write two characters, and so you have to memorize 90 pages of dialogue that you're in, and you're in every scene. How daunting is that for you? Did you realize that's what you were doing when you were creating this?
Yeah, it's not that hard, weirdly. I don't know. It's not when you, it's interesting to see, cause for me, it's like, I wrote it, so I could have lived with it longer, but I never tried to like sit down and memorize it until I, you know, started the rehearsals. But, I was wondering how easy it would be for the other actor to memorize. And Kevin is, you know, we don't have a script in our hand, and this is really only our, seventh rehearsal. So,
wow.
We're off book. We make mistakes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But you still got another month before you're going live, too. So you got plenty of time.
Yeah. So we're doing, you know, he memorized it very quickly. So I felt like sometimes things are easier to memorize. I mean, like Shakespeare, that's not so easy. But when it's conversational, it is easier because it just one thing flows to the next. But that's not the hard part.
There's so many other things that are the hard part.
Yeah, that's manageable at this point. Well, I still have a few brain cells. That's still manageable.
Oh my gosh. Well, you realize we're already at the halfway part of the show.
How can that be? We just started talking.
I know it's not even possible, but we are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear from our friends at It Matters Radio, Rainbow Brew, and then a shameless plug for my album. And then we're going to come right back and talk more with Terry Ray. By the way, if you're listening, and I have a bunch of you pinging me on Facebook saying, I'm listening in, call in if you want to ask Terry a question. He said he will answer almost anything. Now, he doesn't have to give you a real answer, but he will answer any question. The call-in is 323-657-1493. I do have some people that have called in, but unless you press the number 1 on your keypad, I know that you only want to listen and you don't want me to bother you. So with that being said, if you want to press the number 1 key during the break, we'll bring you on and talk more with Terry Ray in just a couple of moments. Stay tuned.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
Well, that's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number 1 rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding. a copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I always love a good strong cup of Rainbow Brew. Now, if you ever thought that getting coffee out of Minneapolis, St. Paul would be a crazy thing, well, you're not alone, because when they first approached me to be on the show, I said, nobody buys coffee that's made out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. You live in a frozen tundra. Then they sent me some, and I'm like, ooh, this is kind of nice. Rainbow Brew is an LGBT-owned small business, and if you actually buy their product, they will give you a Rated G Radio special deal. Just make sure you mention that when you're ordering, and they also do a happy dance. So if you'd like to have them do a happy dance, they actually grind the beans directly in the shop and send them right out to you. Just tell them you heard them here on the show. But thank you, Rainbow Brew. So we're joined today with Terry Ray. He's an actor, writer, producer, and so much more. We've been talking about his new play, Electricity, which debuts on April 22nd, a preview on the 21st. Tickets are $25. There are links on the show page to take you to the 411 that you need, not only to get your tickets, but to find out where you're going to go and, you know, all the good stuff. So go do that. On top of that, I think Terry has one of the busiest schedules of this century, because he's just had a new hit web series come out called My Sister Is So Gay, which stars him, our friend Wendy Michaels. We have Lonnie Anderson, Tilke Jones, directed by Sam Ervin, and so much more. Tell us a little bit about that series and how that's going for you, Terry.
Well, we have like some excitement this week. We got 7 nominations for the LA Web Fest, which is referred to as the Sundance of web festivals, and we have 7 nominations. It's super exciting. Yes.
So let's talk about the nomination you got in that series.
Well, I kind of got 3. I got outstanding actor, outstanding writing, and outstanding series. So Wendy and I share the writing and the series. So because we're the creators and the producers of the show. Thank you.
Everybody that sees that show, you know, and you say the title, and then they kind of look at you a little funny, and then you say, Terry Ray's in it, Wendy Michaels in it, Lonnie Anderson, you know, and by the time you get through the rundown, they're like, shut up. I just need to go to the internet and find that on YouTube. I need to go watch this. It is
totally very
engaging.
Fun. I want people to know that it's not these little episodes. They're little bite-sized episodes. They're teeny little episodes. It doesn't take a lot of time to watch. You can watch the entire season for what it would be to sit down and watch a sitcom. So watch. It's really fun. It's MySisterIsSoGay.tv, and it's all free. It's all there whenever you want to watch it. You can watch it. You can binge straight through for the whole 35 minutes, or you can divvy it up. And it's really – Deborah Wilson's in it from Mad TV. She's the one that did all those, you know, Oprah Winfrey and Whitney Houston in person. Lonnie Anderson is my mother. Hello. So it's really exciting. And that was executive produced by the Equality Vodka guys.
Bert and Doug.
Dickinson and Bert Gallagher. Yeah. And Sam, the director, Sam Ervin, is so prolific lately. He just finished a movie with 2 of our stars. He did it with Tilke as the lead, Tilke Jones, who is so cute, hot. What's the right word? Hot,
hunky.
Cute, hot. Hunky. Dreamy. So he was the lead in the movie, and Deborah Wilson had a fun part in it. So the 3 of them just did another project. So and Wendy Michaels is delicious in it. She was nominated for Best for Outstanding Actress, and Lonnie got Supporting Actress. Sam got Directing. Our sound guy, Gabe, got Best Sound. So and everybody is in on the best. Everybody in our crew and cast is in on the best series part, because it was a village. And Randy Jones left a sweet comment, and I told him, Randy Jones from The Village People, you know, it takes a village. He does. He knows.
Randy's awesome.
I'm very proud of it.
Randy also appeared with you in another show that you were just on.
Right. Child of the 70s, which I'm sure your listeners know very well. because there's so many fantastic people associated with that, which you have on the show. Like, I think you had Mike Hennessy on yesterday, right? It's wonderful, full of guest stars like Randy Jones. So yeah, we just finished season 4, where you see me do things I don't normally do. Yeah.
It's a lot. You have one of the things I've told Michael Vaccaro this, who's the show creator, and I love Michael so much. He is so talented and such a he's a giver. If I can use that word freely, he is just absolutely one of the most generous people that I've ever met. He, I think, did something this season that I really like. He had the episodes be really longer. It's like a mini series of a web TV series each episode. So everything is between like 11 and 15 minutes. And there's, instead of having 8 or 10 episodes, you get 4. And I really liked how that was put together this year compared to years past.
I think this is the best season. I just think, I think this is amazing because it doesn't often happen with shows, but I think every year the show gets better. And I think that this is a rare show where that happens. I mean, he just, it's in all categories, it just gets better every year. And that's something to be proud of. And he's done a brilliant job for someone who's, you know, financially challenged. I know what that's like. And to be able to pull this off and get the support that, you know, these people are willing to give, that people, he gets to find the right people that believe in the project and believe in Michael. And he, the Equality of Octa people are there and others. And it's admirable. And he is so wonderful to include so many people in their star, you know, in the roles, like not writing two people shows like I do. He's inclusive. Michael Vaccaro is an inclusive showmaker.
He definitely, but he also gets these huge names like the Terry Rays of the world. We have the Randy Jones, we have Sheena Metal, we got Susan Olsen, we've got Ralph Mayer, we have, I mean, the list goes on. Ann Walker, I mean, everybody. Yeah. Amy Lenker's in it this season. You know, Judy Tenuta,
yeah. And he's had Donna Pascal and Lynn Stewart and.
And the list goes on and on. So it's just, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. It's really. And Tom Pardo is doing a great job with that as the director. And the crew is the same crew I have for Child of the 70s. Child of the 70s crew is the same crew I have for My Sister's Okay. And I love them and they're fantastic. And the editors and Dangerfield for both shows. And so, yeah, I've stolen blatantly from Michael Vaccaro, but thankfully he gave me permission to steal all his people. So I owe him. I think I have to give him a kidney at some point. So he'll, I don't know if he wants it, but you can have it.
Yeah. It'll be on ice.
Yeah.
Pate.
It's just served slightly frozen for him.
Slightly frozen, it's a little chewy. It didn't thaw all the way. So that's okay. So, what else are you working on, Terry? I know you've got a movie that's coming out. You've had a game show that's out. You've got
everything. Both of those things. I have a game show that is called Mod Couples, and I'm not on camera. I co-created, co-produced, and I write it, and it's very fun. It's on Hulu. I have a series on Hulu, and it's actually surprisingly just shot to the top of like top 10 list of Hulu. Like it's
wow.
Doing really well. It's in the top 10 shows of Hulu. Even the second day it was out, it was. So it's two couples, a straight couple and a gay couple. And they compete to see who knows each other best. It also is very funny. And it also just proves that everybody is the same, whether you're straight or gay. Couples are couples, and they have their issues, and they have their quirks that are fun. And just check out an episode, and I think you'll be hooked. There's 6 episodes that we did. Hopefully, we'll go back and do some more very soon. But it's called Mod, like odd, with an M on the front. Mod Couple, really fun. And then I have a TV movie that I co-wrote that's going to be coming out soon. They usually change the title, so I don't. Right, it was called Jones's Unplugged, but I don't know if it's going to keep that title. Almost every time they do a movie, they change the title. But anyway, it's got like Misha Barton from The OC is in it. David Ogden Stiers from MASH, Marky Post from Night Court. It was weird. It's the first time I've wrote a movie and had nothing to do with it. The network bought it, and so then I got to just visit the set, which is the weirdest thing, to go visit the set of a movie that you wrote and then go. You had nothing to do. This you're on a sound stage and there's all these sets are built and the cast and the crew, and you're like, this is so weird because I had never done that before. Like, just handed somebody something and just kind of peep in the peephole later. It's like, wow. There were cranes. There was a back lot. I'm like, what? That's coming out.
So when you have an experience like that, you know, when you've written it, and I'm sure that in your head you have everything pictured about how it's going to look and how it's going to be. When you go to on set, were you surprised at how any of the sets and the arrangements were set up, or was it pretty much along the lines of what you had imagined?
Oh, it's completely different. Completely different than you can imagine.
Really?
Because you didn't have any part of it. You weren't in a discussion. Privy to any of it. So it's all different. It's sort of weird. It's surreal to have written something and then just see it interpreted in a way that you didn't have anything to do with, which is, you know, the way it happens. And that's kind of the way most
writers
sell their things. Yeah. And, but I hadn't gotten to experience that on that level before. And that was kind of pretty cool. Nothing to do with casting. It's like, you know, did you picture that person in the role?
Nope.
No, but okay, let me see how they do it. Oh, okay, yeah. So it's all very exciting. Surreal. I think that's the word for that one, surreal. And so there's that. And also I'm doing a little fun thing with Dawn Wells, Marianne from Gilligan's Island, who I just happened to meet. And we started talking and we had a meeting and I pitched an idea that I thought probably had been pitched to her before, but it hadn't been. And I'm like, what?
How was that possible, Terry?
I don't know. I don't know how. I thought for sure. So I said,
you would think,
wouldn't it be fun? Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun to go like, what would happen if you were still sitting on that freaking island? And she's like, no, I haven't thought of that. No one's approached me with that. So we did a funny video called She's Still on That Freaking Island. And I wash ashore and in a tuxedo, I fell off a wedding boat and I get to go to Gilligan's Island and deal with, well, we never say her name, but it's probably Marianne, right? Because it's Dawn Wells.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have any licensing
issues.
Right. So it's pretty fun and it went really well. I've written a second episode. We're going to do 13 of these and we just have like crazy schedules right now. I'm doing the play and Dawn's in Australia about now, or if not very, very soon. So when all that settles down, we're going to start shooting more. And I am loving getting to work with her. She's a lovely, lovely person. And, you know, she's always been gorgeous, and she's also lovely, lovely on the inside. So it's really also surreal to think, wow, I have been to Gilligan's Island, quotation marks, because it's not called that,
right.
With quotation marks, Marianne. And it's just something I never thought I'd get to do. And it's really fun. And it's being directed by Leonard Carter, and who is also Dawn's manager, and he's very nice, and we're all friends, and it's just fun. I get to play with my new friends, and I love it, and I can't wait to do more. The first one is on MTV. Not me. I'm not MTV. I meant to say MeTV. They run – they've been running Gilligan's Island, so now they have that, and it's also – you can just go to YouTube and watch it. If you just, YouTube search Dawn Wells, Terry Ray, or She's Still on That Freaking Island is what it's called. And you can watch it. It's just 7 minutes, the first one, it's something like that, a little less than 7 minutes. But fun. I think you'll enjoy. If you like Gilligan's Island at all, you'll like it.
So how does it feel? and I don't need to kiss up to you, okay? So I'm saying this not as somebody who's going, nom, 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 but it's going to sound like it, okay? How does it feel to create programming that is so pee your pants funny? Are you aware of what you're doing when you do it, or you know, you just kind of throw it together and say, well, I hope this kind of works?
Well, I try to write things that I think are funny, and then I've written it in a bubble, and I go, oh my God, I really, really love it. Now, are other people going to like it? And that part I'm never sure about until it's done. You know, it's like, I know I like it. Will other people like it? I just have to trust that if I like it, then I'm going to do my thing. And hopefully other people are going to like it too. But yeah, I mean, I really do work on it. When I write a comedy thing, I'm trying to make sure that there's fun jokes in there, that it really, that it has a nice pacing, and that it all works out well. I write this Don Wells thing by myself. I write the play by myself. I write My Sister's So Gay with Wendy. I've written the TV movie with my friend Larry LaFont, who I've written several other things. Our short film called Gaydar, which was really the beginning of the whole thing, and Gaydar did really well. But so I've written with people, and I've written alone. I have a new movie script that – this is like – the movie script I have written is called The Tooth Fairy. And it, to me, it's like my – play. I've written this movie script that I really, really like, but I haven't had time to do anything with it. So that's like something that's burning a hole in my pocket as well. So I have that new script, which I wrote by myself, that I just can't wait to get people to start reading it, but I've not had the time to properly push it. So
have you done anything that you said, you know what, this is probably like the best thing that's ever going to be ever filmed ever, and then either shown it or actually got it done and go, oh my God, it just didn't work?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
But nothing's like burning a hole in your memory. So that's good. Okay, because some people say like, well, you know, there was this one time I did Glitter, or, you know, Shanghai Surprise or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, things of my projects that I've gotten filmed, I'm pretty happy with them. The ones that I had control over. I've had a TV movie that I worked on the script and got changed, and I didn't think that was for the better, and I don't really mention that TV movie very much.
Yeah, no, we don't need to mention names. I'm just curious about the creative process.
Yeah. So that one I was like, TV is compromise. And a lot of times it's for the better, but not always. So I've been lucky, because with From Here On Out, which is, I didn't really mention From Here On Out properly, but From Here On Out is my sitcom first before the movie that I did with Here TV. And it's the first time they ever did a sitcom. And it was an interesting process, because they were like, we want something with sexy guys. And there was these parameters that they wanted. But in a way, that was really fun, because it was like, okay, I have to go, this is what I have to incorporate. And I'm going to spoof their network. And they're like, they want me to spoof their network, because this is a show about making a TV show. But they have it set fictionally at Here TV. So I'm like, what are my boundaries? Am I going to say something that they're going to get mad about? And, you know, that was nerve-wracking. I'm like, well, were they going to get upset with me? But then when they read the first episode, they were like, oh, my God, this is great. Don't be afraid. You can do more. And so that was really amazing. But seriously, every time I turned in a script, I was like, okay, this is what's going to get me fired, this one. And they were just like, no, it's fine. But I was scared. It's like in one episode, I'm like, I do this thing where we make our show, and now we're going to air it for the first time. And I'm like we make fun of the fact that we might have only, you know, 20 people see it. And there's like a list of the people who have, well, the only 20 people on it that have the thing. So we have to go to their houses to watch it, you know, the strangers' houses to watch it. And I'm like, are they going to be mad at me? And no, they didn't. So I give them so much credit for that. I mean, it was fun to have those parameters. It was fun to make, okay, I'm going to make this show about these things that I need to make it about. And then, but because I was spoofing their real network, that was scary. But they've been so great about it.
And this was, you know, not that your other things aren't a big darn deal, because they all are, but this is like a big hit for you.
Yeah, it was the highest, I think, I've got this still right. I mean, it was the highest rated show they've ever had in their history. So that's pretty dang exciting. And, you know, they still intend to make more. We did Mod Couples together. That's through Pure TV. But now they sold it to Hulu. And the intention is to make more from here on out. But it's just been, there's so many things going on at the same time. And I had such a great cast. I had Juliette Mills, who I love her. And Suzanne Wong, who, do you know her? Do you know Suzanne?
Yeah, I took acting courses. I did a workshop with her at the Playing Field.
Oh, God, yeah. She's
the best.
Fantastic. She's fantastic. I love, love, love Suzanne. I didn't even know her until she walked into the audition room. But now I just love her to death. And T.J. Hoban, who is as hunky as they absolutely come. He is just unreal. And a wonderful cast. I'm really proud of that show, and I do hope we get to make more. But they're all my little babies, and I'm very proud of them. So and thankful, because waiting for the phone to call when I was just an actor was not that much fun. But being able to make your own stuff is very empowering, and I suggest anybody who has the gumption to do it. That's my secret, which is
so
much of a secret.
We've got about 8 minutes left, and I'm going to keep you for about five. Because the first hit's always free, Terry. You know, now that you've had this taste of I can do it myself, and I, you know, can write it, produce it, or you know, I can get producers on board, and I'm going to star in it, and I'm going to do. Are you going to become one of these people that only does everything themselves, or you know, will you, you know, come back every once in a while and do shows like Child of the 70s, where you, quote unquote, just play a part?
Oh my God, I love it! I'm thrilled to get to do stuff. I'm going to do a movie coming up with Craig Campobasso's movie, Please Don't Eat the Pansies. And believe me, if anybody asks me to do something, I'm like, yes, please. I love it. It's so easy. I'm like, I just have to come in here and act. Hello. That's so fun. And I have a great time doing Child of the 70s because of that, because I don't have any responsibility. I love all the people, and I just come in and play. I don't have any responsibility for money or scheduling or, you know, props and crew, arranging people's schedules. That's a lot. But
it's a lot.
Yeah. No, God, please give me more of that stuff. I love it. It's so
now,
fun.
Have you ever had
projects?
And of course, you know, this has not happened on any of the things that we've talked about. So everybody wipe the whiteout board clean when I asked Terry this question. But have you had experiences on set that have just been really surprising to you? And it's usually like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. You know, those types of things.
You mean surprising good, surprising bad, or just surprising?
Well, you can pick anything. I usually like, you know, give me a surprising bad. Because they're usually funny.
Oh, God. Well, okay, I'll try to do a really quick story. My first time I got to do a part in a movie, I was playing a mutant frog that rules the world after World War III in Hell Comes to Frogtown. And,
okay.
I was a frog guard in this like crazy frog outfit with Rowdy Piper and Rory Calhoun, and it was crazy. But anyway, I was so excited to get to do this. My first thing is like, okay, I'm in a frog suit. The only thing you can see of me is my eyeballs, but I had sort of had a line coming out of my fake frog head. But I was waiting forever and forever for my close-up, and it was finally my time, and oh my God, we were shooting this thing in this abandoned warehouse that looked like a World War III had happened, and they can't see, I no peripheral vision, I'm wearing feet that used to be from Planet of the Apes, so I have big toes, and you trip, and I gotta go to the bathroom. I mean, it's not negotiable. I'm getting ready to shoot my scene, and I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I cannot believe this. I got to go to the bathroom. And my trailer is like 300 yards away through this debris of iron and twisted metal and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay. So I'm trying to get to the bathroom without falling and tripping. And I'm thinking, okay, I got this big out suit on and what am I going to do? And you get into the little tiny trailer bathroom and I got this gigantic frog head and hands and all this stuff and I get robes and I'm like, okay, I made it to the bathroom. Thank God, it was scary. My robe was in the toilet. Now I can't even see. It's the back of my robe. Okay, I can't take this outfit off. I have to like try to clean my robe in the tiny little drip drop trailer sink, right? I can't see down. I can only see straight ahead, and my head won't bend because I hit the wall, and everybody's waiting on me, and oh my God, I'm panicked. And I clean it the best I can. It's soaking wet at the back. And I, you know, race back to the set. And they're all, like, staring at me, like, where have you been? And the costume lady, she comes up to me, and she says, your robe's all, you know, bent around, twisted wrong. And she twists it. She says, it's wet in the back. And I'm like, I know. I spilled a Sprite on me. And I got away with it.
Oh, that is one interesting Sprite story, that's for sure.
Yeah, Terry, yeah, I got a lot of those.
Do you want people to find out more about you through any particular website or IMDb, or what's good for people to come and become your fan and follow you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, you can go to IMDb, definitely. But also, I have a website. You can go to terryray.tv. And that has links to everything. There's a Gaydar Gun toy, which is a spinoff from a movie. There's a lot of stuff you can see there, and it's pretty inclusive. And you know, Facebook, you can find me on Facebook as well.
There we go, Terry.
Twitter,
it's been a pleasure. I can't believe
Twitter.
The hours, it's flown by.
It doesn't feel like we talked for an hour. Hello.
It's so much
wow.
fun. Oh my gosh, what a pleasure it is. Everybody, go see the play Electricity if you're in the LA area, April 22nd to May 20. I have the date wrong. It's April 22nd to May 6th, I think, isn't it?
No. April 22nd to May 22nd. 22nd
it is.
22nd.
Okay, then I have it on there the right way. I don't know why I was thinking something else. Okay, so everybody, we need to go out and support Terry.
ElectricityThePlay.com.
ElectricityThePlay.com is where you're going to get all the 411. You can get your tickets and so much more. TerryRay.tv is his website. We will be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Mr. Scott Fullerton of his show, Left of Straight, and it will be a free-for-all in that discussion as well. Terry, it's been a pleasure having you on. I can't wait to see you. It'll be tomorrow. And for everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow evening. Have a great night. Thanks, everybody.
Lips like your house is on fire. I can't save you like a Sunday school choir. Saying too much like an auctioneer shant. Sirens are here to put out your rant.
Your brow and scream out loud. Sweat and testify.
listening to
Rated G Radio.